Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and today's installment is first in a series of three about something which has affected our community since its very founding. It's the untold story of immigration in Central Minnesota. As I'm sure everyone knows, as of late, there's been much discussion about immigration. So today's untold story focuses upon one particular ethnic group that makes up about 5% of the population in Minnesota and whose original country only just recently, 25 years ago, gained independence. And while this ethnic group is small, they've certainly had a profound impact upon this area, including having one of their members represent the state of Minnesota in the United States Senate. And that would be Amy Klobuchar. You may also know other Slovenians in the community, but how much do you really know about the Slovenians? Well, luckily, down at the Stearns History Museum, there's an exhibit that just recently opened that goes into the history of Slovenian immigration, innovation, and culture. And at this kickoff celebration, we had a number of people involved in the creation of the exhibit, guests from around the country and from around the world. So as we start off today's untold story of Central Minnesota by speaking with the organizer of the exhibit, Marge Priatley, keep in mind how some of these stories from 150 years ago translate into some of the stories you might hear around town today.
Okay, my name is Marge Priatley, and I'm from St. Cloud, Minnesota. I've lived here now 27 years. Both my parents are Slovenian, let's put it this way, Slovenian American. They came in the 1920s to this country, and my parents spoke only Slovenian when they were growing up. They learned English in school, so I was close to this culture all my life, even though my parents didn't teach me how to speak Slovenian. So, but I had an appreciation for it all my life.
So we've got quite the gathering here today. Mm-hmm. So there's a public exhibit and then a lecture here in a little bit with some folks, but you guys just had a dinner. Who are the folks who were invited to the dinner?
The people who came to the dinner today are all those who worked on this exhibit in one way or another. Either they were people who provided information, or they provided their skills, such as videography, or banner making, or writing, or research. Everybody who came today had a role. And I like to always point out the Stowes, Ron and Susan Stowe, who came here from St. Paul today. They had created an exhibit similar to this about Norwegian immigration in 2013 or 14. And I saw their exhibit and liked it so much, I said we could do that with the Slovenian immigration in Minnesota. So we decided to use them as a template. Of course, we went in our own direction. We used different materials, different topics. But they're the ones who gave us the inspiration.
Now, on one hand, people might not realize the influence that the Slovenian immigration had on Minnesota, because it's kind of small, isn't it?
For its size, Slovenian Americans in Minnesota make up only 5% of the Minnesota population. But there were missionaries who came early on. Father Pierce is extremely important in Minnesota immigration history. And he was 50 years old when he came to Minnesota. Amazing. He'd already lived, you know, at that time especially, he already lived a complete life. Then he decided to become a missionary here, and his first jobs were, of course, with the Ojibwe Indians. And then he started serving regular settlers after Minnesota was opened up to more European immigration. So he is absolutely essential, and being Slovenian himself, he also brought over many Slovenian missionaries, such as Father Boo, Father Tomazin, Father Trobek, who became Bishop Trobek, third bishop of St. Cloud. These people had an enormous impact on Central Minnesota. So even though they were small in number, they had a huge impact. The Slovenians were reluctant to leave. There were not Slovenians living in America when Father Pierce was inviting them to come. There were tons of German people, and Father Pierce, of course, spoke German fluently, as did most Slovenians, because They were Germanized through the Habsburg Empire. They lived under German rulers for over 1,000 years. So they were very familiar with German culture, and it's really a miracle that they were able to maintain their Slavic culture in the face of these German rulers for so long. But they did, and they also maintained their language, even though in Slovenia there's only about 2 million people. It's a very small country, but every single person counts, it seems. You know, everybody's doing something important. I don't know why. They seem very hardworking. And about 10 years ago, they did a study and said Slovenians work harder than any other ethnic group in Europe. And I absolutely believe it. Well, the name of our exhibit is Slovenian Immigration Since 1855. And the reason we chose 1855 is that's the year that Father Pierce's sister, Apollonia, Notch, N-O-T-C-H, or N-O-T-S-C-H, if you look in the phone book, there are two spellings of it. Anyway, she came with her family, and she came to stay. She came as a permanent settler. She came to St. Joseph, because that town actually is older than St. Stephen. But through her and through other people who came to St. Joseph, they broke off and then went to St. Stephen and formed practically an enclave there of Slovenian people. It was about 70-30, as far as 70% Slovenian, 30% German in St. Stephen. But it was considered a Slovenian town up until present times, when even there's been a lot of population shift, there's still a core group in that town to this day that honor Slovenian culture.
Thanks. So what all went into coordinating this exhibit and bringing everybody together? Because you've got a lot of people here.
Well, it was a huge, I do agree, it was a huge effort, because one of our objectives was we wanted to do this for Minnesota, not just for central Minnesota. Now, the central Minnesotans have a long history with St. Stephen and with St. Anthony, which was settled about the same time as St. Stephen, and also out in Albany and, you know, towns around Stearns County. Lots of Slovenian people live in these places. However, we wanted to bring the Iron Range into the picture, and we wanted to bring the Twin Cities into the picture, because there were people who worked for the railroad in the Twin Cities. Of course, the people on the Iron Range were in the mines. And we wanted to tell a comprehensive story, a comprehensive timeline, not just, okay, from 1855 we had people in central Minnesota. Okay, sure we did. Mm-hmm. But then in the 1870s, starting 1870s, 1880s, 1884 was the first shipment from the Sudan mine. I learned a lot about the Iron Range, by the way, doing this exhibit that I didn't know before. And then, and there's more, much, much more I could learn. But since 1884, people on the Iron Range increasingly included a lot of Slovenian people. And so we have a banner up there, Life on the Iron Range, which tells the story of one of these people, but he's a composite of many men who came at the time who didn't expect to settle in the U.S. They just came to make money. They fully expected to go back to Slovenia after they made money and buy a farm or, you know, get a wife and have a family. And it didn't work out. Some of them, you know, got caught because they met somebody here. They married, you know, intermarried with some people who are not Slovenian. Or they found other Slovenian people here. They went back. I mean, there's so many stories from the Iron Range, whereas the people here in central Minnesota came to settle, and they settled, and that was it. So very different stories between the two places. Well, I just want to say that, you know, I feel that this story needed to be told, let me put it that way, that the story practically told itself once we got going. We did rely on a lot of prayer, I'll tell you that, because it was so complex when we got going on this, much more complex than we thought it was going to be. We didn't have the skills. No one person had all the skills to do this. So we had to rely on a number of people and their goodwill in order to do this. And as I said before, it's donation driven, which means everything you see that was done through the contribution of somebody. And if we hadn't had the contributions from people, we never would have been able to do it either. So,
well, yeah, that definitely speaks to what's going on. I mean, you've got the, you know, Council General from Slovenia here.
Yes. You know, this, I have to say one thing, though, because we're such a small ethnic group, we are in touch with the dignitaries who come to this country, like the ambassador, the consul general, or honorary consuls, more than some other ethnic groups, simply because there's so few of us. Like, if you're a Polish, a friend of mine tried to contact the Polish ambassador, and they went, yeah, get in line, buddy. You'll see him in a month, you know, maybe. And here, you know, you just call up. I mean, it's just not that difficult, because there's just so many fewer Slovenian Americans than there are other ethnic groups. You know, maybe the Luxembourgers can relate, probably.
yeah.
But it's really great that they're very accommodating to us and come to our affairs, our parties, and are very happy to do so.
Nice. Well, excellent. It's quite the little party in here this morning. Yeah.
It was fun. It was very tasty.
Tasty.
And that was Marge Priatley speaking to us in the foyer at the Stearns History Museum outside the Slovenian Heritage Exhibit entitled Farmers, Miners, and Refugees, Slovenian Immigration in Minnesota since 1855. And next, we're going to duck into the exhibit and talk with somebody who's an historian in their own right.
Ruth Larson, there is a wealth of information here, a lot of artifacts that you can look at, but you can go around and look at all the pull-up banners, and you can get the whole history of the town of St. Stephen all the way back to Slovenia and everything in between. It's very informative and very well done.
Ah, there's quite the history. It's like this is that kind of that hidden history of this area where, you know, we were talking about Pierre's. And, you know, what he did, you know, it would be a very different place here if the Slovenians hadn't come over.
Oh, it would be. And he was the beginning of a lot of the Catholic population in this area. And he would go from church to church, and he would walk with his housekeeper. And they would carry everything they needed with them. In fact, his journal was about a 3x5 little book, and it was about a half inch thick. And the reason I know that is because we took the information from that booklet, and it's now digitized in the diocesan records. Very difficult to read, but we use magnifying glasses. But he's an interesting guy. He was a wonderful contact for the Indians and just was so good to them. They just loved him. Absolutely. That was the beginning of Stearns County. Pretty much in this area. I've done a lot of history and genealogy, so I can really appreciate all the work that's gone into something like this.
There has been a lot of work that has gone into this exhibit. What kind of work does go into it? Because I talked to Marge a little bit, and she was kind of humble about it, but it's like, there's a lot here.
Oh, it's hours and hours of just pulling out background information and pictures, and they went and picked up artifacts from many, many people around St. Stephen and the area, wherever you could get a contact. And then you have to find someone to put it all together and get it ready for a presentation. And they have videos, which are real personal. It's just a great exhibit. I'm really enjoying it. I've done some work similar to this, so I can appreciate how much work went into it.
Oh, yeah.
Just hope a lot of people come and see it. Well worth the trip.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. Today we're at the Stearns History Museum, the opening celebration of the Slovenian Heritage Exhibit, Farmers, Miners, and Refugees, Slovenian Immigration in Minnesota since 1855. And now, during the dinner portion of the celebration, we're going to hear from some of the speakers, including the Council General from Slovenia. But first, we're going to hear from the man who is leading the song you hear playing behind me, Honorary Slovenian Council General Miro Medved from St. Paul.
He who is acting sour doesn't belong in our company. Torpa črno se drži, tak za našo družbo ni. Živijo, oj, živijo.
I'm really happy that this project that Marge put together came to a really successful conclusion. I believe early Slovenians in Minnesota had a great need to keep close contact, so they built churches in some Slovenian homes, like in Chisholm, Ely, because they felt the need to stay together because they had a common, well, the language and the heritage, the kind of common customs. So the churches became sort of a gathering place for social events as well as religious events. In many communities, the church was the heart and soul of the Slovenian community. Later generations tended to assimilate in American society, so it was not quite as important to have a common gathering, because people assimilated and had other interests. And then also the churches had actually Slovenian priests who the liturgy was in Slovenian, the sermons were in Slovenian, and so there was a lot more synergy because of that. And then, but slowly, as there were no longer Slovenian priests available, the sermons and liturgy became more Americanized. It was English, and also the lot of homes, like the homes, Slovenian homes, became used for other events because there were no longer as many Slovenian events. But the Slovenian heritage, I noticed, remained in the individual homes. There was through songs, food, and music. So most Slovenian homes had their Slovenian customs for their holidays. But there seems to be a resurgence, and I don't know if some of you feel this, a resurgence of Slovenian need to get together. I'll give you one example. In Minnesota, in Twin Cities, we just celebrated the 10th anniversary of the Twin Cities Slovenians. And the main founder of the organization is right here, Norm Stetniker. Norm, could you stand up? And it's a really a wonderful organization, because we get together once a month, and every month is a different topic, and people who travel through Slovenia share their experiences in Slovenia, and I think it encourages other peoples to go. So I would say about half of the Twin Cities Slovenian members have already traveled to Slovenia in recent years, sharing with us. So I'm encouraged by that. The problem is that most of the meetings are attended by senior citizens. So I'm kind of excited about this project that Marge spearheaded. And I think that I'm hoping that because this is a traveling display, that it'll go in different places. Younger people will see it, and it will encourage them maybe to investigate a little more and get more interest in their heritage. So I think Marge Prijatelj's idea of making this a roving, portable display is great, because it'll be going through from here. This year I mentioned earlier, Duluth. It'll go to various cities, and then of course it'll go to Washington D.C. to the U.S. Slovenian Embassy, coinciding with the time where there's a meeting of the Honorary Council of Slovenia, thereby hoping that they'll catch the bug and maybe they'll start something like that in their community. So I wanted to congratulate everybody that worked on this project, and I think it's a job well done.
And next we hear from a representative from the actual Slovenian government, Council General Andrej Groger.
Distinguished guest, ladies and gentlemen, drage Slovenke, dragi Slovenci, dragi prijatelji Slovenije. Dear Slovenians and friend of Slovenia. It is my great privilege and honor to be here with you, to join you in this joyful event. I will start a bit, because this year also we are celebrating the 25th anniversary of our independence. 25 years ago, Slovenia declared its independence. Our dreams and the dreams of our predecessors for an independent state of Slovenia were shared and realized. I know that Slovenians started to come to the North Star state before the American Civil War. I am also proud that these Slovenians, some are your ancestors, helped shape also this successful story of this great state of Minnesota. I would like to thank especially Professor Prijatelj, and all the Prijatelji of Professor Prijatelj. Prijatelji in Slovenian means friends. And I'm also proud to learn how many Slovenians still live here in this part of Minnesota and also in the north. For now, I've just been here in St. Paul, and St. Cloud is my second place that I visited. And well, but after the exhibit, to see the exhibit, I will go also to St. Stephen. And I'm, as I said, I'm very proud to learn how many Slovenians still live here and foster Slovenian heritage. Therefore, allow me to express my sincere tributes to all of you for your outstanding work and valuable role in preserving our cultural heritage and nurturing the friendship between the peoples of Slovenia and the United States. Thank you very much. Hvala lepa.
And finally, here on the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, we hear from Rudy Krasovitz, who is a chairman of the board for a Slovenian insurance company based in the United States that has its origins as an organization that helped look out for the Slovenians when no one else would. And as his story and the story of this organization unfolds, you begin to see how an immigrant or refugee ethnic group can fit in and assimilate with society and yet maintain their ethnic identity all at the same time.
They knew they were coming to America, but beyond that, they didn't know where they were going. They had no idea where they were going to end up. Many that came to Minnesota probably had no idea when they left Slovenia that they would be in Minnesota. Many of them that came to Colorado had no idea they were going to Colorado. They were coming to America. When they got to Ellis Island, when they went to Louisiana or one of the other ports, destiny was determined at that point. And the destiny that determined them was called the workplace in America, the need for jobs, the need for workers. The mines, the steel mills, the farms, where they needed workers, and the time the person came in to arrive as an immigrant, that dictated where they were going to work. And that's where they were going to live the rest of their lives in most cases. Many people settled in the areas, and they settled in about seven states originally: Minnesota, Montana, Michigan, Ohio, Colorado, Illinois, Pennsylvania. Those were the areas where they had the mines and the steel mills. It's an honor for me to be here today to represent the Krajinska Slovenska Katolska Jednota, or the American Slovenian Catholic Union, as we're known today, KSKJ Life. In 1894, the KSKJ was formed, and it was really a merge of lodges that were in those seven states. They came together, and they came together to protect the rights and the needs of the Slovenian immigrants who were coming to America. You know, at that time in this country, in the time that the KSKJ was formed, there was no OSHA, there was no EPA, there was no workers' comp, there was no welfare, there was nothing. When you talk about government protecting your rights and taking care of the people who were here, there was nobody to do it. And who stepped up? It was the KSKJ, it was the SNPJ, it was the Slovenian, at that time, Women's Union, Slovenian Union of America. Organizations like that were formed to take care of the Slovenian immigrants who came to America, because nobody else was doing it. Well, if you think back at the work that the people who came to America did, what kind of work did they do? It was, first of all, it was the work nobody else wanted to do, and it was hard, dangerous work. Farming wasn't so bad, but think about the mines and think about the steel mills. Well, one of the reasons is the KSKJ and other fraternals got started is we started out as mortuary benefit societies, a terrible thing to think about. But I personally know about what happened with those because my great grandfather on my mother's side was killed in a mine in Aspen, Colorado, along with his brother. The mine caved in. They were miners. They came from Europe. They came from Slovenia, and they went to work in the mines. Well, my grandma, who died a few years ago, was 100 years old when she died. She was 7 at the time her father got killed, and they were in Aspen. And she ended up in Pueblo, Colorado, and it was because of the KSKJ. It was because of other fraternal organizations that took care of her and her family and her little brothers and sisters. And my grandma often said, if it weren't for the Slovenians taking care of their own, we would have had nothing. She goes, I don't know where we would have been. That's what's special about our organization. You know, many years ago at the University of Notre Dame, they asked Father Theodore Hesburgh, at the time he was the president, and they said, Father, a reporter asked him, and they said, Father Ted, what makes Notre Dame so special? You know, most universities have great educations. You know, they've got great academics. They've got good football teams. What makes Notre Dame so special? And he said one word: tradition. And when you think about what makes the Slovenians in America so special, it's our tradition and our culture. And the things that we brought from Europe that we share today, the things that we're preserving and we're memorializing today. You know, that's probably one of the things I think that makes us, as we go around it. I go around the country a lot. I was in San Francisco a few months ago, and I'm sure I speak for, you know, the Council General and the Honorary Council. They go to other places throughout the United States. And as you see the Slovenian culture, it is so nice to see some of the traditions that continue to, we teach about Petica, but they continue to exist, and we continue to pass them on. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? Nobody. We have to do it. And if there's not a March Priority in the group that had that dream one day to say, listen, we could do this, you know, it doesn't get done. You have to step up and you have to be counted. And that's what's so special about the Slovenians. You know, in closing, I want to share just one other comment that I remember hearing and I thought was really unique. But former Council General Jurij Šmauc, at his commencement ceremony in Cleveland, at the end of his assignment as Council General, he got up and he gave a presentation and he said this, and I always thought this reminded me, and I think really important today. He said, everyone will become a part of history, whether they want to or not. Everyone will become a part of history, whether they know it or not. You know, I'm sure the immigrants who came to America and that are remembered today, they didn't care about history. They didn't care about being remembered. They wanted to get here and they wanted to start a new life. And if you think about something so scary in your life about coming somewhere where you've never been before, going to a place where you've never seen before or seen the people, and hoping for something good. I mean, talk about pioneers. If they weren't here, I wouldn't be here, and neither would many of you. And so when we think about that, and we think about the work that the exhibit committee did to put this together, what a great tribute to those people. Again, thank you for making this a very special memorial and a very special time for the people of Slovenia, for the people of our country. And always remember that, you know, when somebody asks you what makes us special, our tradition and our culture. Hvala lepa.
And that was Rudy Krasavitz here on the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, speaking at the Stearns History Museum during the opening celebration of the Slovenian Heritage Exhibit, Farmers, Miners, and Refugees, Slovenian Immigration in Minnesota since 1855. The exhibit was organized by former St. Cloud State professor Marge Prietli and is open to the public at the Stearns History Museum through mid-January, where then it travels to Ely, Duluth, and finally out to Washington, D.C. to the Slovenian Embassy. For links to more information on this and other programs at the Stearns History Museum, you can find links at our website at kvsc.org, under the Podcasts and Untold Stories of Central Minnesota tab, and under the link for this story. Over the next couple of weeks, stay tuned to KVSC as the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota continues to look at immigration into our community and some of the dynamics that are taking place today. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. It's been produced at KVSC, proud member of AMPRS, Diverse Radio for Minnesota's communities.